It is time for us to speak to Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We rebroadcast it over the weekend and also in our 12 noon segment. And we bring in Arthur this morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. I just discovered where the burned coffee smell came from.
Where?
My stove.
No.
I thought it was coming from the outside, and I forgot I was reheating a little some coffee on top of the stove. This is part of getting old, I think.
Well, it could have been worse. It could have been something that's a horrible smell.
Well, it wasn't a good smell.
Yeah, it's noise.
And also, I don't want to. I'm not touching the pot that it's in.
Oh, no.
It's only a flea market find, but you know how those are. It's a really nice little copper pot, just the right size for reheating a few cups of coffee or something. Anyway, we'll see after the program here. I will see if I can salvage this pot. It's a copper pot. It's a tin-lined copper pot. I might have melted the tin. Who knows?
The fate of the pot will be determined later.
Yes, it will. Anyway, meantime, if I was actually sitting in my kitchen, I would have noticed this. I was in my office, which is next door, but attached, and because my kitchen is so hot, I can't tell you. And part of the problem was one of my two little fancy refrigerators here stopped working, and I called the repair guy. By the way, I have a brand called Uline, and there is one man in all of the New York metro area who repairs Uline refrigerators. Anyway, but he's a nice guy, and he's a great mechanic. He came and he fixed it, and when in the process of, you know, fixing it, he said, well, you know, it was just blowing off all this hot air, so to speak. And I said, aha! But it's still pretty hot in here. Anyway, which means I'm not cooking, because even to boil water for tea, it gets the kitchen even hotter. And in fact, I told Bob on a really bad afternoon he needs to go put the tea in the microwave. He's not putting it on the stove.
How is he with that?
He's fine with that.
Okay, good.
Means walking. I don't have a microwave in my actual kitchen. It's in the back pantry, so he has to walk to the back pantry. But he doesn't mind. I always think it's like a vacation to walk back there myself. Anyway, so I told you earlier off the air that I was smelling burned coffee, Jill.
Yes.
It was from my stove.
Uh-huh.
And I was reheating coffee, and I totally forgot.
That is...
Because I still had coffee in my... And it's really burned. I'm looking at it now. I just hope as I said to Marshall, I hope I didn't ruin this little pot that I love.
Yeah, that would
Anyway,
be...
moving on to my hot kitchen... And even more forward, I did finally score sensational tomatoes yesterday. So I feel secure that I'll be eating okay this week, even if I only eat tomatoes. But I know so many things to do with these tomatoes that don't require heat that I think we'll be okay. So I don't have I mentioned already that I'm become offended by the prices at...
The farmer's market
yes, I shop
that
in
was
here.
Last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm not even going because there are temptations there. But there's another farmer's market that is not part of the green market system in Park Slope. And it's a little far. It's not on my corner, but well worth getting to, walking if I'm in the mood, or I could even take the car and park over there usually. And there's a family. I think they're Mexican. They're definitely, you know, Hispanic. And their prices are great, and the product is unbelievable. And they have everything. I didn't want everything this week, but I just bought a lot of tomatoes. But I bought their tomatoes 2 weeks ago, and it was like one of those aha moments when we ate these tomatoes, so I'm happy about that. And I'm not a big salad guy, but we've been eating a lot of salad, and I've become a little creative with my salads. We're not eating so much pasta because you got to put a big pot of water up to boil, and that takes a while and heats the kitchen. But I am going to do it today because I don't know if I mentioned that Cecilia's grandson is a college student. He and his college roommate are staying in her apartment. They've been here for a month already. And I still haven't fed them because of the heat. But they cook, so I'm not worried about them.
Last week you were threatening to tell us what you were going to make for them.
Well, here I didn't cook anything for them yet.
Okay.
But I am today, even though it's going to be very hot. We're playing cards with them this afternoon. And then we're going to eat something called crudaiola, pasta a la crudaiola or pasta crudaiola. And if you look this up, this word up online, crudaiola, you will mainly find recipes that are just tomatoes, basil, garlic, oil, like, you know, by another name is crudaiola. It's a word used in Puglia. And my first encounter with the word was in Alberobello, which is one of the tourist centers of Puglia. You know, it's the town that has all the trulli, T-R-U-L-L-I. These are little really rural buildings, farm buildings, with conical roofs. A lot of stories about why they're cone-shaped, but they're stone, and it's very picturesque. It's like a little fairy tale place. And even though the main street of Alberobello is like a a mall almost, it's one shop after the other selling goods to tourists, some of them are incredibly high-quality tourist goods. Like I have bought their hand-woven linen, meaning real linen, towels, bath towels, hand towels, beautiful stuff. And these days in contemporary color combinations, not only the old-fashioned grandma colors. Anyway, in the old Alberobello, there's a restaurant called La Cantina, simple name, La Cantina, small place. But the man who owns there and cooks there with his wife in the dining room is incredible with his ingredients. I mean, he sources the best local stuff. I mean, everybody in Italy eats local, but he really does source. So when he makes his raw vegetable sauce, and it's not just tomatoes, it really sings. So at this time of the year, there's no reason you can't find vegetables to sing, and it's really the basic stuff: carrots, onion, celery. I have taken to not using onion because I feel some people who won't eat raw onion or say they don't want to eat raw onion, but I substitute scallions. I substitute scallions. So I do carrots, scallion, celery. If I want to do basil, I do basil. If I have mint, I would use mint. If I have good parsley, I use parsley. You choose. Another suggestion is arugula. Now that you can buy that baby arugula, they call it different names by different packers, but if it's that small leaf, jagged-edged rocket.
Rocket.
The English word. So some of the packers say roquetta. So that's a very good green.
Have you eaten?
Put in a crudaiola. Pardon me?
I
chop it up.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I look at those because I am a huge arugula. I would eat a lot of arugula, but it looks like in a lot of those packages, the arugula is a little, would be better utilized by chopping it up and using it for a bit of zing in a...
Well, you could chop up the big leaf arugula that we all, we've had around in America for forever. But certainly when I was writing Naples at Table, which was in the mid-90s, you could not get anywhere unless you were growing it yourself. And it's very, very easy to grow, by the way.
Yes, very. But you have to...
They actually used to call in Italy wild arugula, but it's not wild. It hasn't been wild in generations. you throw a few seeds around, and then that's all you need for years. So, in fact, I know somebody here on Long Island who did put some arugula seeds in her garden, and it took over that end of the garden. And she was forever asking, do you want some arugula? Because I have to weed this stuff out. Anyway, that's a very good green. And then I add tomatoes. Now, I bought these, the tomatoes I bought are salad tomatoes, and I'm going to dice them up and put them into this. But if you have really good cherry tomatoes, this time of the year you can get really sweet cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes, whatever you want to call the little tomatoes, you do dice them up. I don't like really big pieces, especially if you're dicing everything else up. But now, about that, the scallions, you don't have too much choice. You either slice or you can cut them in half lengthwise and then cut them crosswise into pieces. I would cut celery into very fine mince, and I would cut carrot into very fine mince. You don't want a lot of chewing stuff going on here. In fact, I have a friend in Italy who does this all in the food processor. And I guess, why not? It does a good job of it. Part of the pleasure here is that I like to cook, so I don't mind standing here and mincing. And then I feel like I really did something, even though I'm not turning any heat on. And you put it all in a bowl with the cherry tomatoes, the green of your choice. Like I said, it could be parsley, basil, chopped arugula, and that's it. You let it sit, and oil, and just the best olive oil you have. Right now, I have oil from Puglia, we find the better oils from Puglia have a buttery quality to them. They don't have, I guess they're not high in, what are they called? The compound that is antioxidant that grabs you at the back of your throat. But it's really tasty olive oil. And this one I got at Costco. It's still, as of 2 days ago, it was still at my Costco for $12 a liter. They used to only have at Costco Tuscan oil, but it's gotten hard to get good oil. And anyway, they branched out all over Italy, and if you look at any of the Italian oils they sell at Costco, they tell you the date of harvest. They tell you everything you need to know to assure you that it is what it is in the bottle. And anyway, so that's the oil I'm using. Even though this is like a salad, I don't add any vinegar to this. And you could add a little garlic. Certainly, if you're using scallion, you can combine it with some garlic. I don't like to combine onion with garlic. I mean, and if you have an onion, don't use way a lot. And also, I don't like to chop onion in the food processor, whereas the scallion doesn't seem to be. I find the sulfurous compounds in the onion come more to the surface in a food processor than they do with a good sharp knife. So crudaiola is what we're going to have, and I think we're going to have it. This is a joke now between Bob and me and the boys, is a pasta that we all love called faella, F-A-E-L-L-A, is made in Gragnano on the Sorrento Peninsula. Gragnano is sort of right down the road, in fact, from Sorrento, and famous, famous pasta town. A lot of different pasta companies there. But faella is an artisanal one. Plus, we're friends with the family, yada, yada. They sell it around the corner where I live here in Brooklyn at Union Market. And there are other Union Markets in Brooklyn and one in Manhattan where I suppose they also sell it. But it's $8 a pound. So I'm not buying that pasta every day. Anyway, so the boys said, oh, we saw it in the store, but it was $4 a pound, so we didn't buy it. I said, no, it wasn't $4 a pound. It was $8 a pound. So they went to the store the other day, and they took a picture of the price on the package, and in fact, it is now $10 a pound. So I'm really not buying it. I think next time at Cecilia, Massimino will be here early November. I'll have him bring me some. In any case, that's what I'm going to make it on, just to treat us and to end the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been making a lot of salads, as I said, and we love beets. How do you feel about beets, Jill?
As somebody once pointed out, they are too dense for me. But from time to time, I will definitely.
Too dense for you.
Yeah.
Well, like dark... we love beets. They actually are, very, as you can imagine, a very healthy vegetable. and we can eat quite a lot and we eat them in a lot of different ways. But in this weather, you know, either you have to turn the oven on for an hour and a half or the top of the stove for at least an hour. So I'm not doing that. And I was thrilled to discover at Costco, and I'm sure they're all around now if they're at Costco, they usually they introduce product at Costco and then introduce it into supermarkets, pre-cooked beets. Now, for as long as I can remember in Italy, they always sold pre-cooked and peeled beets. They were in a package in the supermarket, or you went to a regular food market, and they, you know, I mean, you know, where farmers came in, there would be some booth that would sell the already cooked beets, because besides that it takes a long time to cook them, some people don't really care to peel them. They're very easy to peel, because once they're cooked, the skins just slip right off, but it's a slippery, and I guess some people would think unpleasant task, not me. However, you know, pre-cooked beets are a boon, I feel. And this box was very cheap. I don't know, it was like under $6, and it had three separate packets. So you, even though you were buying a lot, you didn't have to use a lot. I've used up one packet already. And all you do is open the package. It's vacuum packaged. And do what you want with the beets.
That sounds perfectly reasonable.
And also, they're good. Of course, let me just say, when people buy things in a package, they expect it to be uniform. Every piece the same, every package the same. Consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds, as Waldo Emerson said. You have to remember, beets are a natural thing. They come out of the ground, even though you're buying them in a package. And every one of them is going to be different, just like when you buy beets at the market.
Yeah.
Every one of them, one's going to be really sweet, and the next one's going to be not so sweet. Anyway, these were, of the four beets in my package, and think about it, it's only $2 for these four beets, whereas, you know, a bunch of beets around here could be $3.50, $4. Easy. Anyway, they were very good. We love them, just with feta cheese.
Yeah.
I sliced the beets, put them out on a plate, and then just crumble feta cheese over them and salt. Did I say salt on the beets? Even though the feta is salty, I always feel the flavor of beets doesn't really emerge in its fullness, in its fullness, until you sprinkle them with a little bit of salt. And if you want to put an herb on that, great. I mean, mint, dill. I'm really into dill lately. And when you buy a bunch of dill, you got to use dill for a couple days because dill. People used to ask me on the radio when I did the, you know, answer show, yeah, how do you store dill? And the answer is you don't.
You don't. You just use it.
You don't.
Otherwise
you just have to use it right away.
Right.
I did for years, at the end of the summer, if I could find, well, fresh dill is usually available in the supermarket too, so it's not like it's hard to find. As some listener told me, freeze it unwashed. So you're not ever going to be able to wash this, by the way. So make sure it's clean dill. Freeze it unwashed in a glass jar. Not plastic. It has to be a glass jar. And, you know, in the middle of the winter when you make soup and you want some dill in it, it's great. That's about the only use I could find for the frozen dill.
Okay. Two things.
Yes.
One beet, one tomato. Beet. Beets. Also, I found with Chev, it's also, feta or Chev.
Oh, yes. Goat, you know, the trendy thing is goat cheese.
Well, it's not for trendy. It's for, you know, sometimes I get bored with feta, so.
No. I mean, feta varies a lot. And I find that there is good feta in most supermarkets. But you got to stay away from the pre-crumbled feta.
It's so salty.
It's so salty and it's so dry.
And it doesn't.
And also, as soon as you open the package, it starts spoiling.
Right, there's that.
I buy Bulgarian feta that comes in a tub, in water, and you can keep that feta moist and not so salty for at least a month once you've opened up the container.
Right.
I can go through. And I buy the. There's a half pound container which I would go through pretty quickly. And there's also a one-pound container. This is the brand that I buy. But I see it around. I see these containers around. Even other companies from other countries are using these, the very nice little white rectangular tubs. And they're well-sealed, and they have a date on them. So I'm pretty secure about that. And also, if you ever find Israeli feta, which is sold in supermarkets, packaged, it's excellent. It's very creamy feta. If you don't like the crumbly kind of feta so much, although it will crumble.
All right.
And yes, you're right. And goat cheese is great.
All right.
Speaking of cheese.
Before you do that, I've got to do my tomato question.
Okay.
Okay. Do you remember the Marcella recipe with rosemary and balsamic?
And tomatoes.
Yeah, it's a it's a cooked sauce, but. I was just wondering, so it's pointless if you don't remember it because...
With rosemary and...
And a splash of balsamic, because the thing is, I have been working on that as a cold sauce, you know.
Oh.
And so I just wondered if you had had any...
No, I don't remember it, but I have everything Marcella ever wrote.
Yeah, so I just...
So I can look this up. I'm sure it's in one of her books. By the way... I really can't sell something, but I am ready to sell.
You can talk about it, says Marshall.
Well, okay. Well,
we just can't
from
make
Marcella's,
offer.
I'm thinking it's her 75th birthday. Her family gave her a party in Italy. I'm forgetting where, but I can go look at this now. And it is some wonderful villa. And everybody at the party got a handheld Marcella mask.
Ooh.
I have to laugh. No, this is sort of typical Marcella and Victor, too. Instead of on the back of this telling you why you got this and where you are, it's an ad for her upcoming class at the French Culinary Institute. But anyway, I have three of them. So if you ever want to go to a party as Marcella Hazan, I have three masks.
Just
this flat piece of cardboard on a stick, and you just hold it up over your face.
So just contact.
You can use it as a fan.
Yeah, just contact us here at the station, and we'll then email Arthur at the information.
Let me give out my email because you mentioned last week, Marshall, that there was somebody looking for me to do a tour with them.
Yes,
and I never heard from them. But my email, and which anybody who's welcome to write to is Mavens Mail, MAVENSMAIL at AOL. Mavens Mail at AOL. So I wanted to mention tomatoes and crudaiola. That crudaiola is usually served with a kind of cheese called cacio ricotta in Puglia, and also. In Cilento, which is the area near Salerno that I know so well. Cacio ricotta is cheese made from whey. You know, ricotta means recooked, and ricotta is, in fact, the whey byproduct of cheese making, real cheese making, and which is then recooked, boiled, actually, so that whatever protein is left in the whey can be retrieved, usually just scooped up off the surface. Anyway, if you make a cheese, like maybe age this for 90 days, and then it has some kind of fermentation, like a cheese, it's called cacio ricotta. Ricotta salata is a lot like a cacio ricotta, a little drier, but a good substitute. But sometimes I've seen cacio ricotta around, in the U.S., somebody's importing it. Usually comes in very small, round wheels. That, you know, so you buy an individual cacio ricotta. But ricotta salata is very good, too. I would not use grated cheese with a crudaiola. I'm meaning Parmigiano or a pecorino. I would use a ricotta salata would be perfect, a fresher cheese. So anyway, I've been making a lot of sandwiches, too.
Uh-oh.
You don't have to turn on the heat for a sandwich.
Okay.
And My favorite sandwich of the moment is something I do have to turn the heat on for, actually, now that I think about it, is broccoli rabe, which I well cook. I don't leave it crisp. And provolone. And if you have good crusty bread, it's fabulous. However, you know, crusty bread is not for every sandwich. And I recently discovered, I keep talking about Union Market because it's like my new toy, and they opened around the corner. They have a great bread department with breads from all over the city, probably out of the city too. But there's a bakery. I spotted this bread, and I never heard of the bakery. And now I heard of the bakery because every time I mention it to people who are attracted to bread as much as I am, they've heard of it. It's called Grand Daisy, except it's one word, Grandaisy. It's in Tribeca. I'm forgetting the street. You can go in there, by the way. They bake focaccia, Roman-style flatbreads. You can call it pizza bianca and other kinds. But they also have bread. And I think you can actually eat in. So we'll go look it up. It's called Grand Daisy. But I've been buying their, you know, the name alone attracted me, pane integrale, which means whole wheat bread in Italian. And I try to only eat whole wheat bread, or at least bread made with some good content of whole grain. And whole grain is also, you know, it's more than whole wheat. I find whole grain, by the way, you know, is a very vague word. And many breads that are called whole grain are called whole grain because they're sprinkled on the outside.
Hey, Arthur, we're going to run out of time.
With a variety of grains. But inside is sort of like token whole wheat bread. So anyway, it's called pane integrale, and it's a round loaf. And you can slice it. You can for sandwiches, because it has a nice, soft but chewy and yeasty interior, and it still has a nice, flavorful crust—not crunchy, but you know, chewy.
Arthur.
And I cut them in half, you know, down the diameter. This is a cutting a bread lesson, okay?
No, because
what. No?
We're out of time.
We only have about a minute.
I know, but I have enough to tell you.
Okay.
You cut it in half. And then you put the flat side down on the board and cut through the crust. Don't ever try to cut through soft bread because it just smushes. So you cut through the crust where there's surface tension with the serrated blade knife.
Also known as. Okay.
I'm finished. Serrated blade knife for tomatoes, too, by the way.
Absolutely. Also known as a tomato knife.
All right. Go enjoy your tomatoes.
All right, and Arthur. Your bread. Thank you.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio.